This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by PRMIseattle.com, Primary Residential Mortgage. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
In a lot of ways, it's just unfair being a business owner in Seattle. And it's not the fault of the businesses, though obviously they choose to operate in Seattle. When they made these decisions to operate or expand or purchase a business here and take over, when these business owners made that choice, it was at a time for most of them where things were going pretty well, relatively speaking. It was always expensive to do business in Seattle. There's no doubt about that. Bigger cities have a tendency to be more expensive, especially the closer you are to sort of the downtown core of that city. But they didn't really have to deal with the issues they're dealing with now, out of control crime. Crime, of course, existed. It's always existed. But over the course of the last 5, 6, 7 years, it's gotten awful, and now it's getting untenable. This is all by design, or at least a reaction to a design, a consequence of a design, policies that say, we're not going to punish people who break the law. We'll give them a slap on the wrist. They won't see any jail time. We'll pretend that the only thing that could work for them is restorative justice, because if we put them in jail, it's unfair. It's racist. And so someone who, say, breaks into a business ends up being told they're not going to do any jail time, they're not going to pay any fines, and instead they're just going to go to finger painting class. We'll do art therapy. That'll get you on the right track. Of course it doesn't. They blow it off, as any normal person would, frankly. Art therapy, come on. And they end up recommitting. And sometimes they go into the same business that they previously hit, and they do it again and again and again. There was a barbershop, Steel Barber, an owner, talking with Dory Monson the other day, talking about how I think he's been hit like 6 times in the Queen Anne, kind of Ballard-ish neighborhood, somewhere between them. It's absurd. And not only do they have to deal with the cleanup associated with that, but you've got folks who are now saying, we might not even be able to keep our insurance. Nick Bowie is the owner of Dong Top Noodles in the International District. And he talked to Como TV and he said what everyone is saying.
Within a little bit over a year, we've been broken into 3 times already.
In just a little over a year, they've been broken into 3 times. And he says that his insurance provider dropped coverage for 2022.
Unfavorable loss during the second break-in.
What does that mean?
I believe the claims are more than what they wanted to pay out.
Which, of course, makes sense in a general way, right? I mean, insurance only works so long as you use it infrequently. Now, when you use it, it's meaningful. It matters to you in a big way. But depending on what it is you're paying into the company to get that insurance coverage, at some point it becomes untenable for the insurer. And if the insurance provider is spending so much money on things that are truly avoidable, then guess what? It doesn't make sense for them anymore. They can't afford to provide coverage to the other people who live outside of Seattle, who live outside of Washington, who have emergency situations that they need coverage for every once in a while. They can't pay that out. They can't pay that out. And so that's a consequence here. You've got some small businesses that are already struggling. They're getting hit by crime on top of the struggles from the economic consequences of COVID. And they're either losing their insurance, or what ends up happening is they don't even report some of these crimes because they fear that they'll lose their insurance. The whole insurance industry as a whole, it has to work for everybody. It has to work for both sides. The money isn't endless. And he's obviously frustrated, and I get his frustration.
Why don't they raise our premium rather than just cancel us outright? And that's the disheartening.
And I hear him, but you know what? What if the premium that they raise it to is also disheartening? On top of that, they don't necessarily want to always do business with businesses that are being targeted. Again, I get it. I understand that perspective. I'm obviously on the side of the small business over an insurance company. I'll be with them 9 times out of 10. But at least I understand what the insurance company is doing here. And Nick now is left in a position because fixing windows that are broken by homeless people or criminals or whomever, that's expensive.
Every time they smash a windows, that's about $1,500.
And all that this is doing, all of this is telegraphing to these insurance companies a reminder of maybe you don't want to do business here. Every single time a business comes in and makes that report, hey, you know what? Sorry, I got busted. My window got busted again. We were the victims again. It's just a reminder to the companies, hey, maybe we ought not to provide insurance coverage to this particular area, whether they're talking about Seattle as a whole, or maybe they look at the individual districts, the individual city, neighborhoods. They say, okay, you know what? We do pretty good in Eastlake or, you know, Broadview. But man, Queen Anne, Pioneer Square, Capitol Hill, we can't just do it anymore. Kenton Bryan is the president of the Northwest Insurance Council. And he said just that insurance companies are now thinking twice about whether or not they're going to cover businesses here.
Seattle and Portland have seen a rise in crime. They've seen changes in policing that may be affecting those crime rates. It's a good idea to talk to and have regular communications with your own insurer to make sure the coverage you have is adequate for what your situation is. And ask ahead of time if they're having any issues about underwriting or changes in their policies or rates that might affect your coverage.
Now, it's not like these businesses can't find any coverage, at least not yet. They can. There are options out there. They might not be the best options. They might not be better than what you're currently doing, but they do exist. The problem here, and I think that this is a meaningful one, is that this is yet again the way a city like a Seattle gets its brand as being unfriendly to business. Because this is a direct consequence of policy. Sure, it's the insurance company that's saying we can't really give you coverage anymore. But the reason why they're doing that is because you're the victim as a small business owner of bad policy. Of activists taking control. Activists deciding about public safety instead of experts deciding on public safety. Embracing an era of lawlessness. And as so many people know, because you hear me saying it ad nauseum, bad policy spread. You just look at homelessness and how homelessness is being tackled. Look at how it spread to Olympia, Puyallup, Tacoma, Bellingham. These bad policies spread. And as a consequence, businesses get broken into, vandalized, because we're not putting the right people in jail and we're certainly not keeping people accountable when we're offering them help. And again, I don't take a position that we should be throwing everybody in jail. I don't believe that. Prolific offenders, yeah, if you're offering help and they're saying no, or they're refusing to do it, or they'll say yes but then skip, and they continue to break laws, yeah, at that point you put that person in jail. You can do restorative justice from your jail cell. But Seattle and King County and Washington has embraced, thanks to Democrats who are in power, a policy of endless chances. And those endless chances have consequences. Sometimes it's vandalism, sometimes it's a break-in, but sometimes it's a murder. It's a shooting, it's a stabbing. And all of it is preventable. All of it is preventable. You can prevent a prolific offender from quickly reoffending by putting them in jail. But the criminal justice system is an institution of oppression. It needs to be dismantled. Yeah, right. We got it. We got it. Tell that to the people who are suffering right now. Tell that to the small business owners who are people of color, that you believe that the criminal justice system is oppressive and racist, even though if you were to use the criminal justice system to punish bad guys, the person of color who owns a business wouldn't get hurt. So why don't you make that kind of circular argument? Folks on the left are really good at that. 1-800-465-8770. If you want to send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text messages. Don't forget, I'm on Fox News Primetime. I'll be on the Faulkner Focus on Monday at 8 a.m. as well. If you want to check that out and can't check it out live, that's okay. We've got a YouTube channel, youtube.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Crime.
We have an update on a story we brought to you on Monday. I told you that over the weekend, a suspect fired shots at a King County sheriff's deputy, and for the most part, the media completely ignored it until Monday. It happened early Sunday morning, about 3:45 a.m. And we're now getting some more details. And on first glance, some people would say, well, this is actually good news. Not only did we catch the person, but we are charging the person as a county. Now, there are some shocking details here. For example, the suspect fired an AK-47. Where they got that AK-47, I do not know. And as shocking, or maybe even more shocking, the suspect is a 16-year-old kid. 16-year-old kid. This is the kind of kid that we talk about on this show. A kid who has decided to go down the wrong path. And even though this kid, who's been identified as Jai King, or Jai King, J-A-I is his first name, this kid cannot be helped. Not immediately. Not immediately. This is someone who needs to go to jail. He's being charged as an adult. He's being charged as an adult. And that's obviously a good thing. But it's important to not just now dismiss this story. Say, oh, well, he's being charged. That's good. Let's move on. He's being charged with first degree and unlawful possession of a firearm in the second degree. Assault in the first degree, excuse me. You need to pay attention to this story, and that's going to be on me, but I'm going to need some help with you guys. There's lots of stories I'm tracking, but even though this kid doesn't have a track record, they're putting him in jail for now. Guess what? I guarantee you that this gets pled down. I guarantee you. A kid who could have shot and killed this deputy. Thankfully, the deputy is fine, but he fired just 15 yards away. And it appears to have been targeted. This kid fled in a car that was stolen during a robbery. This is a bad kid, according to the allegations. This is a kid who I guarantee you they're going to plead down. They're going to get a deal. He's not going to see any jail time. He'll do some sort of restorative justice program. Maybe they'll put a tracking device on his ankle that won't work sometimes. And he'll know when it doesn't work and he'll continue to do bad things. Sometimes there are crimes that are so severe that it kind of forces the hand of the King County Prosecutor's Office, where they understand that it would be a bad look for them to say, okay, we'll just do maybe $10,000 bond and, you know, we'll see him in a bit. They couldn't do that here because they knew very clearly what that would mean from a public relations standpoint. But after all of this is done, after the media coverage ends, this comes out on a Friday, came out this morning, so it was a Friday morning, got maybe one news cycle. That's when the behind-the-scenes stuff happens. That's when King County Prosecutor Dan Satterberg's office starts looking at this and says, well, you know what? It's really expensive to go ahead and go through it a full charge. Let's just throw him a deal, see what happens. He doesn't have a criminal history. He'll get help. Let's put him in restorative justice. Let's send him to one of these meetings where they do group hugs and group therapy, and they'll get him a mentor, and then he'll be on his way to a fulfilling life, gun-free. It's not going to happen. Ultimately, prosecutions will really get serious, or prosecutors, I should say, would really get serious once someone dies, or once you do a second or third or fourth serious crime. And this is just the first one that we know about. Now, I'm going to assume. My assumption is that this was not the first crime he committed. Or crimes. This is just the first time he's been caught. You don't go from being completely innocent to getting a ghost gun, because it didn't have a serial number and it had an extended magazine. You don't go from doing nothing and being innocent to grabbing an AK-47 and then firing at an officer. That's not how it works. Now, obviously, as a 16-year-old kid, my assumption here is that he either comes from a broken family or a family that hasn't provided for him in the way that they needed to. And to that end, he is a victim. 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, younger, they can be victims. They can still be the bad guys, the criminal. But there can also be an element of them themselves, they themselves being a victim. And he's a victim in most likely scenario. But it doesn't mean because he's a victim in that regard that he was let down by the adults in his life, by his mother or father or grandparents or whomever, Just because he's a victim in that regard doesn't mean we don't punish him. This is someone who needs to be punished. Restorative justice, I think, is a really good tool if this kid ended up stealing a six-pack from a 7-Eleven. Or if he was a pickpocket. Or if he tried to steal some clothes from a Target or something. 16 years old, doing something like that, which is a relatively low-level crime, even though, again, it doesn't feel that low-level when you get targeted all the time. But in the context of a 16-year-old pulling something like that, I say, okay, let's try to help. I don't want to throw a 16-year-old in jail. I don't want that to happen. But when you decide to pull an AK-47 and nearly kill an officer, nearly kill anyone, I don't care that you're 16 years old. I don't care that you've been let down by your parent enough to say you get a pass. You go to jail. In jail, I hope he gets the help that he needs. I hope he gets that restorative justice. I hope he gets the actual mentor, the adult in his life who could help. Does it put him at a disadvantage when he gets out of prison? Because obviously he's not spending the rest of his life in prison. Yeah, it does. It does put him at a disadvantage. But you know what? Sometimes your choices have consequences. Although, again, we're in King County, we're in Seattle. I suspect that it won't have real consequences. I hope I'm wrong. I truly do. I truly hope I am wrong. There have definitely been, in fairness to the prosecutor's office, there have been instances in which I have thought that they would give a pass when we're not paying attention, and they haven't. What is it, Jacob Greenberg, the kid who took a bat to the back of the head of a cop at one of the mostly peaceful protests in Seattle? He's still going through the process, and he's been charged with a serious crime. He could do serious jail time. I hope he does. I believe they're still in the discovery phase of the trial. Not certain. Once I get an update, I'll obviously bring it to you. But, you know, they're in fairness to them, they're going after that kid. That's the right move. Because he went one step too far. That's what this kid did. And I just truly hope, I pray, that intersectional nonsense, wokeness won't get involved. I don't know his race, if he's black or Latino. Oftentimes, you get the white prosecutor, the white woke prosecutor in Dan Satterberg saying, well, let's give this kid a second chance because of his skin color. That white kid, Jacob Greenberg, we're not going to give him a second chance. He's a white kid. He's a rich kid. That's not how the justice system is supposed to be. In fact, that would, in fact, make it racist. It would make it the racist justice system that folks on the left claim it to be. So we'll keep an eye on this. I promise you that. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local. Brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning. At alpineclean.com, this is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle. And instead, we focus on the communities you live in and care about most. And we start on this Friday afternoon in the city of Tacoma, where you've got politicians. This is really a follow-up because we told you that they were looking at a law that would restrict where and when people can camp on private or public property within city limits. They're looking at this because the homelessness crisis is getting out of control. They have resources that are being made available, but folks continue to just camp out wherever it is they want. And oftentimes where they want to camp out is not a good place at all for basic quality of life for the people who actually are paying taxes, paying their rent, paying their mortgage to live in that area. It's hurting businesses. It's taking over parks. So they're trying to do something. But before they move forward with their actual changes to this law, because as I recall, they had a draft policy or they were considering a draft policy, they want to hear from the members of the public. So they're hosting on Monday at 5:30 a forum via Zoom, a forum to hear some feedback. And what we've said, generally speaking, about any of these meetings, whether it's in Tacoma or in, I don't know, Redmond or Steilacoom, wherever it is, generally speaking, these meetings are only attended by folks who are professional activists, the ones who have time in the middle of the day to go to a meeting. But this one is at 5:30 on Monday. That seems like it's very reasonable for folks who live in Tacoma to actually attend. Seems reasonable to me. Now, obviously, you're going to want to podcast the show, because if you dare miss the 5:30 to 6 o'clock hour, you're completely dead to me. But I want people who live in Tacoma to speak up. Because if you don't show up to this meeting, if you don't decide that you're going to get involved, if you don't weigh in, even if it takes just 10 minutes out of your day or an hour out of your day, if you don't speak up, you will cede all the power that you have to folks on the left who don't want this bill to move forward, who are perfectly content allowing the city to become Seattle. And you don't want Tacoma to become any more like Seattle than it already is, because you've already seen what that means when it comes to a rise in crime, an exodus of police officers, an increase in rent and just basic life. Going to a restaurant, going to a movie, going to a gym, all that stuff is costing more. Don't cede that power. Now, you can go to the City of Tacoma's website, just cityoftacoma.org. Tacoma News Tribune had a story up with a link as well. Go there now. Put it in your calendar, 5:30, to go and attend this Zoom call and explain why you want a law that will not just move people off of the streets, but also have consequences for illegal behavior beyond just simply sweeping. If people are being offered resources, and there are resources, no matter what some folks say, and we'll play some audio in a second, but there are resources available. And if they're going to say no each and every time and continue to break the law, then they have to go to jail. Because only in jail, maybe at that point, could we force them into getting some services, because they will see what their life is becoming. Maybe that's rock bottom. Now, aside from adding an element that would prohibit storage of personal belongings on personal property, which this law would do, according to the Tacoma News Tribune, it would also prohibit camping on property 24 hours a day, and it would be enforced by police. If you violate this law, you get hit with a misdemeanor charge. A conviction can bring in a fine of no more than $1,000 and imprisonment of no more than 90 days. Now, that's there, so it has some teeth, this enforcement. It's unlikely to be really used all that often, but it needs to be a part of it. Now, activists don't like this. Activists hate it. They don't like consequences. They don't like consequences. And oftentimes you get, like here, a video from the Tacoma News Tribune. They'll talk to someone who's homeless, like Tamara. She's homeless. And they got in front of her with a camera at a time where there was a sweep of the encampment that she was living in. And she explained to TNT, like, where am I supposed to go?
I don't know. Supposedly tiny houses is in Lakewood.
Yeah.
They're going to open up some houses in like a week. I don't know how true that is. I don't care. I've been turned down. I don't know why. I give up. We're not here hurting anybody.
Uh-huh. I get that you're not there to hurt anybody, but you're hurting yourself and you're hurting a community. You don't think you're hurting the community, but when you have a high homeless camp rate, encampment, homeless groups, whatever you want to say, whether it's encampment or just individuals who are camping out on streets in solo or double, you are hurting the community. Now, I don't know the details of why she says she was denied. Don't know if she was actually denied. Don't know if she was denied for a specific reason. But there are more than just tiny homes. You can get into a shelter. You don't get owed a specific kind of shelter. You can go into another shelter. And if there's nothing in Tacoma or Lakewood, then you go into Federal Way or Puyallup, or you go into the city we don't talk about during this segment. It is ludicrous to me that we are pretending that there's no place for them to go, when we definitely know that there is. And so make sure at 5:30 on Monday you show up to the Zoom meeting. Again, just go to cityoftacoma.org. You can get a link directly to this meeting. If you need help, just shoot me a text or an email, and I'll go ahead and send you the link. But it's important that you show up. It's really important that you show up. Meanwhile, we've been doing stories about how different schools, thanks to a new Washington state law, have to get permission from a tribe in order for them to use any sort of imagery, whether it be a mascot or a logo or a name that comes from a from the tribe. And if they don't get permission, they have to change their mascot and name. And a lot of different schools have had to do that. I believe the last one that happened was just, I want to say it was a Monday, maybe it was on Tuesday, but it was Clover Park High School. They had a mascot by the name of the Warriors. And because of this new law, they are changing the mascot name, Clover Park High School out in Lakewood. And they're doing what they can to get input from the community. What would you like us to see? And all of them have been like the Braves or the Tomahawks. And they said, no, you're not getting it. We have to do something different. You can't be connected to any sort of tribe. So now I'm sure there'll just be some bird or something. But in Yakima, much to my surprise, they were given permission to use a native-themed mascot. When for the most part, we've seen everyone say no. In Yakima, the Yakima Nation said yes to the Waluk School District, or Waluke. I don't know this particular district. My apologies. It's out in Mattawa. And saying, yeah, you can use the warrior image. We're okay with that. Now, moving forward, they got to develop some sort of memorandum of understanding, because the whole point of this law was to make sure that Native Americans aren't offended by the use of the imagery. No one's actually offended by the imagery. Anyone who's claiming otherwise is just lying to you. They just want sympathy. No one's offended by anything. Just stop this nonsense. Your feelings are your own. But kudos to them saying, yeah, it's all good. We'll come up with this memo of understanding. We'll make sure that everything remains respectful. But they're saying, yeah, what you're doing right now is respectful. There's nothing wrong with using a native-themed mascot, period. End of story. The same way there's nothing wrong with using the mascot that's of a animal or fruit. You can be the watermelons. You can be the oranges. You can be the papayas. There's nothing wrong with any of this. You can be a warrior. Warrior is a positive thing, by the way. It's supposed to be. I guess we've got to be anti-war now or anti-violence, blah, blah, blah. But so kudos to them for saying yes. Big hassle to have to change all the mascot stuff. Number one, it's expensive. But number two, it takes away the history of the school. And number three, you actually have to do all the work to get some sort of consensus on what's going to be moving forward. As long as you don't become a loot. Sorry, guys, a PLU. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Police unions are taking on the ACLU. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show on AM 770 KTTH. There's a new website that has been set up, ACLU-watch.com. The ACLU Watch allows you to find out exactly how the ACLU is, in their words, defending the indefensible. They are supporting hate groups and sexual offenders, but they're also weakening public safety. They have a cool map that you're able to click on so you can find out exactly how this is all unfolding. Here in Washington State, the Seattle Police Officers Guild is backing this move. Joining me on the line is the president of SPOG, Officer Mike Solon. Welcome back to the show.
Jason, happy to be here. Thanks for spotlighting this. I think it's a significant issue for not only just us locally, but nationally.
Why? What is the ACLU doing?
Well, number one, we all know what the ACLU has done in the past, right? That they were a strong defender of the nation's First Amendment. We know that they would take unpopular clients on, and because it was preventing censorship and protecting the freedom of expression, basically the First Amendment. But now they've completely pivoted to a radicalized group, in my opinion, and in other police unions' perspectives and their opinions, is that they're now protecting and expanding the rights of sex offenders, murderers and thieves, and grotesque child molesters, while they're attempting to curtail the rights of the victims who are seeking justice. So yeah. Now police unions, we're recognizing this, and our group, United Coalition of Public Safety, which is a national group of major police unions across this nation, have had enough because we're seeing the ACLU venturing into radical policies of such bail reform, and we're seeing how public safety is now degraded because of bail reform craziness that's sweeping across our nation.
That to me is the most important part here. You mentioned with the context, yeah, everyone has rights. Supremacists have rights. Child molesters have basic rights. However, the ACLU is defending them and defending criminals at large while making it more unsafe for everybody else. And the cash bail reform laws are a really good example of that. You have time after time, actual criminals, many cases prolific criminals, dangerous criminals, not getting high bail or any bail whatsoever, just released back into the community for them to recommit. And it's in large part due to the activism coming not just from the ACLU, but obviously coming from the left.
100%. Your words really encapsulated what they're doing. And I think reasonable people across this nation need to be told how radical the ACLU has become. And the stories that we're seeing out of major cities, such as the mob criminality that's basically enveloped shopping centers, major retail chains of just a group of people going in, smashing and grabbing and looting with no repercussions.
Yep.
And what we're seeing is obviously the district attorneys, whatever city attorney is in that jurisdiction, not charging these individuals. And then when there is a major crime, more often than not, those suspects are released with zero bail or a real low bail, and the ACLU is behind all of that bail reform nonsense. So these are some of the things that the ACLU has backed recently. One of them is opposing a law in Ohio to require those that masturbate in view or expose themselves to children to register as sex offenders. Or they're opposing a law in Nevada to increase the penalties for child sex crimes. We all know what the catastrophe Proposition 47 has been for California. It's basically, that is the one I refer to as the smash and grab theft that we're all witnessing on video. And so what are we to do? The police are doing our jobs here. We're arresting the people to the degree that the reform laws that just passed allow us to. But when we arrest people, those criminals aren't being held accountable.
Exactly. The website is...
That's a travesty.
Absolutely. And the website for people to learn more about is aclu-watch.com. You can even submit a case in case something is happening in your community, whether you're listening right now in Centralia or Bellevue. If you're noticing any of these cases that maybe need some bigger attention, you can go to aclu-watch.com and submit that case. It's a website that's powered and supported by a number of organizations, a number of police guilds or unions, San Jose Police Officers Associations behind this, the San Francisco Police Officers Association, LA, Seattle, San Diego, Sacramento, Las Vegas. And I'm assuming that that list is going to continue to grow because these are folks who are trying to fight the criminals that the ACLU is defending, and all of us are worse off because of it. Another thing that activists, ACLU or not, but activists have been involved in locally and nationally is getting school resource officers taken out of schools. And Mike Solon, who's the president of SPOG, you know this better than anyone. You know, when you've got an understaffed police force and there's, God forbid, an emergency on a campus, every second matters when, you know, you're hoping to get an officer to get to a scene of a crime. You can have people waiting up to 8 minutes, more than that, during an emergency. An SRO who's already on campus not only can respond quicker, but in a perfect world, they're the ones who disincentivize anyone from acting out. I've seen reports today and yesterday that SPD in South Seattle have been hanging out at schools because of violence. What could you tell us?
Well, I can tell you that a year ago, we were banned by the Seattle Public Schools District from being on their campuses. This is a year ago, post-George Floyd.
Yep.
But now we've been ordered per the command staff to hang around and do heavy premise checks near schools. So to your point, today we saw five shootings, and one male, an adult, was a victim. Two children that were victims, and one of them is a suspect. These all occurred on or near Seattle Public Schools property. And so to your point about the ACLU backing this, I mean, what they're doing is they've overstepped. They've lost their way. And the ultimate people that pay the price are the communities, because law enforcement has been basically handcuffed from doing their jobs. And we've been maligned and besmirched. And the ACLU is behind a lot of this radical bail reform agenda. And then what are we witnessing? We're witnessing an alarming spike in crime, not just in Seattle, but across the nation. And that's what this group of people that we belong with, the United Coalition of Public Safety, we launched ACLWatch.com. And I tell you, we're dedicated to standing up for victims. Jason, cops are here to protect and serve. And I think it's the police that patrol these communities
100%.
Are the ones that can get a handle on this, as long as we're backed up by the prosecutors that need to hold these criminals accountable. This is about law and order and saving lives.
Again, the website is ACLU-watch.com. Go there now, bookmark it. Make sure you're submitting cases when you see them. Mike Solon, president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, thank you so much for stopping by. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.
You're listening to The Jason Rant Show.
Danger.
Ben Shapiro, 6-8.
When you get rid of the cops, because you're saying it is more important for the cops to be vaccinated than it is for there to be cops to actually answer 911 calls, why would any business locate in a city like that?
And Michael Knowles from 8-9.
Countries outside of America are starting to push back against some of the radical woke ideologies that we are exporting.
On KTTH.
I'm Mitch here at Leathers, Washington's most eclectic home furnishings resource. We just unloaded a container of beautiful Italian furniture, handcrafted sofas, sectionals, and recliners. No 8-month waiting time. Our gorgeous furniture is ready to be delivered now and in time for the holidays. Amazing Italian quality, great pricing, and now instant gratification. As they say in Italy, il tempo è denaro, time is money. These pieces won't last, so hurry into Leathers in Issaquah before we say arrivederci to our Italian furniture.
Over the years, your garage floor has stood up to harsh wear and tear. Now, you can fortify the most trafficked areas of your home with Pentek Industrial Floor Coatings. Pentek coatings are affordable, come in custom colors and finishes. And in most cases, Pentek can beautify that cracked, outdated, and stained floor in just one day. For decades of durability in your garage, basement, home, or business, get Pentek Floor Coatings from Matvey Foundation Repair. For your free evaluation, go to matveyfoundationrepair.com. matveyfoundationrepair.com.
Hi, David Cantor, Cantor Diamond. Listen to this. 2-carat cultivated diamond engagement ring, retail $14.5, your price $69.50. 6.57-carat natural tennis necklace, retail $14.4, your price $74.60. 6-carat cultivated diamond tennis bracelet, retail $8,000, your price $39.90. 2-carat circle of love pendants in yellow, white, or rose gold with mined diamonds, retail $69.20, your price $28.75. 2-carat total weight certified diamond studs in cultivated, retail $8,000, your price $29.90. Diamond bands in cultivated or mined, all at 50% or more off the appraised price. We're the only import and production showroom that's open to you by appointment. If you're looking for an amazing diamond piece at a deeply discounted price this holiday, there's only one place you can go, Cantor Diamond.
Call 253-272-7007. That's 253-272-7007, or go to bestdiamondprice.com or follow him on Instagram at Cantor Diamond. That's Kantor Diamond.
'Twas the season of cheer, and joy filled the town, except for Scrooge with his perma-frown. The gift of a Peloton bike touched his soul without doubt.
Work, 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 Peloton!
When your workout's a joy, it's a joy to work out.
You can do it!
The original Peloton bike at our best price ever, $39 a month. All access membership separate. Terms apply. See website for details.
Follow us on Twitter at 770KTTH.
It felt like my foot had gone to sleep and it was waking up, that tingly feeling, except it wasn't stopping. It would get worse whenever I laid down to go to sleep.
This is Sarah describing her neuropathy. I'm Dr. Mark Shelley, a chiropractic physician and functional neurologist at Sound Pain Solutions. Her nerve pain story is all too common.
Neurologists were just offering me medication to mask it, and that wasn't good enough for me. I wanted to be able to take my daughter out to play without worrying if my medication was going to wear off. When I went to Sound Pain Solutions, I heard the phrase nerve regeneration. And I was like, yes, that's exactly what I want. They have a multi-pronged approach, cold laser, infrared, self-care at home, chiropractic. All of that is what has allowed me to get my days back and sleep through the night.
If you experience numbness, burning pains, or loss of balance, call for a free consultation. Our neuropathy therapies are non-surgical and drug-free. Sound Pain Solutions, 855-996-0025 or click soundpainsolutions.com.
At the Home Depot, we improve things. This holiday season, we've improved Black Friday. Instead of one day of crazy, we've lowered prices now and they'll stay low all season. From decorations to dishwashers, wreaths to ratchet sets. So sleep in. You're not going to miss Black Friday. Not one little bit. Black Friday improved. The best prices of the year already here at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
With no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, banking with Capital One is like the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Kind of like Taylor Swift choosing what to wear.
It's looking kind of chilly out today. I think I'll go with a cardigan.
Yep, even easier than that. And with our top-rated app, you can bank anytime, anywhere, making Capital One an even easier decision. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
New consumer accounts only. Approval required. Terms apply. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
This is Seattle's home for conservative thought. AM 770 KTTH. Streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app.
So you want to learn more about planning for retirement, but weeding through all the available information can be daunting and confusing. So what do? You go to MadronaFinancial.com and download your free copy of Brian Evans' recently published book series, Inside Retirement Investing. This complete guide to retirement planning covers everything from investing to taxes and so much more. Get on the path to achieving your retirement goals and get your free copy of the Inside Retirement Investing series by calling 844-MADRONA or by visiting MadronaFinancial.com.
Almost 12,000 people are homeless in Greater Seattle. Josh is one of many who found a new life through Seattle's Union Gospel Mission.
My mom and dad divorced when I was a year old. She was severely depressed and an alcoholic. And when I was 8, she tried to kill herself. So I had to go live with my dad. But it wasn't any better because he was a full-time drug addict. I had so many things happen to me growing up that I tried to block out with drugs. I cut everyone out of my life and ended up homeless and suicidal. But by the grace of God, I'm still here. I believe that God brought me to the mission and the recovery program saved my life. I'm working at the mission now, sharing my story and helping others escape the streets.
And grace will lead me home.
To hear more, volunteer, or donate, visit UGM.org.
Progressive Administration.
What am I talking about?